I'm Going to Punch You in the Throat, a Fates Worse than Death Story by Brian St. Clair King. When Lev woke up in the morning, he checked his phone computer. A new message had come in during the night. It hadn't rung because the computer knew he was sleeping, and it wasn't someone on his friends list. When he hit the thumbnail representing the message, a man's face appeared on the screen. He was unshaven with scruffy, shoulder-length hair. He was dirty and sunburned. His face had many small scars, and his nose was crooked. He looked like a lot of the homeless guys Lev fought in the pit. It looked as if he was calling from a payphone on the street, but Lev didn't recognize the block.
"I'm gonna punch you in the throat," he said in a gruff voice. Then the message ended.
Later, while he was shaving, the phone rang. He casually walked over and answered it. The same guy was glaring at him.
"I'm gonna punch you in the throat," he said. "Who the fuck are you?"
Lem demanded. The image disappeared, replaced with a screen that read, "Other party has disconnected." Later that day, while walking to Chucky's Del Taco for lunch, Lem heard the same gruff voice behind him shouting,
"Hey!"
Lem turned to look and saw the same guy. The man's clothes were dirty and stained, and he wore many more layers than someone who slept in a heated apartment needed. He was homeless, but Lem knew there were several kinds of homeless. There were the drunks, addicts, and total crazies who wore piss-stained clothes, shredded plastic bags, and old clothes that didn't fit at all. Then there were the relatively well-to-do homeless, those of sound mind and body and the skills to make at least a little income, who wore clothes rescued from dumpsters but could afford to be a little picky. Their clothes weren't pretty, but they fulfilled their primary purpose well. This man's clothes fit, which suggested he was more or less rational and had some sort of career. The man had been marching quickly towards Lem, but when Lem turned, he stopped.
"I'm gonna punch you in the fucking throat,"
the man growled across the 30 or so paces that separated them. Lem had slipped a knife from his belt without thinking, and now held it at his side. His other hand was clenched into a fist. His leather jacket had armored plates inside that would protect his chest and abdomen from attack, but he knew he still had to worry about an attack on his neck or femoral veins that could cause him to bleed to death, or an attack on his face, knees, or balls that could paralyze him with pain.
"Come closer and say that, you asshole," Lem demanded.
The man turned and started walking away. Lem walked after him.
"Hey!" called Lem. "Hey, fuckwad, I'm talking to you. Are you nuts? Is that your problem? Do you even know who you fuck I am? I make my living tearing little shits like you apart in the pit, and you think you're gonna scare me?"
The man kept walking. Lem wouldn't be able to close the distance between the two without breaking into a run. Instead, Lem stopped, following, and shouted,
"Don't show your face around here again, you fucking nutjob, or I'll fuck you up."
Later, Lem was on the subway, and the doors connecting the cars opened. The man stepped through, glaring at Lem. Lem stood, ready his knife.
"What?"
Lem demanded.
"You have something to say to me? Come over here and say it."
A homeless guy was sleeping, or pretending to sleep, on one of the seats. The throat puncher reached down, grabbed the man's long, greasy hair, and yanked him out of his seat. The man tumbled to his knees with a howl. The throat puncher still had a fistful of the subway sleeper's hair and pulled on it. The victim scrambled to his feet, lashing out ineffectually with fists against his assailant. Then the throat puncher pulled back his fist and punched the victim's throat and released him. The homeless man dropped to the floor, and Lem watched horrified as he writhed on the ground, holding his neck and making pitiful little choking noises.
"That's what I'm gonna do to you,"
the man growled at Lem. The train began to decelerate, and they both instinctively changed their footing so as not to fall over. An electronic voice announced the stop, and the doors opened. Lem was too shocked to do anything as the man stepped out and the doors closed behind him. Lem went to go check on the man who had been punched in the neck. He was breathing hoarsely. Lem offered to escort him to the hospital, but the man choked out a refusal, saying he would go to Black Mid Turf. When Lem got off the subway, he found a payphone and called the police. The dispatcher who took his call was a 20-something woman with dark neon blue lightning bolt tattoos all over her face. She had dark circles under her eyes and sounded uninterested in Lem's story. Lem described everything that happened. She noted it all down, typing as he spoke. She got his name, address, and phone number, and said they would be in touch if they had any questions.
"So what should I do if I see this guy again? Call the police?"
"I guess," she said. "I mean, mostly you should just run away. If you can't, you should try to take him out. Wait for us to get there and he'll probably have time to do whatever he's going to do to you and then get away." He ate a late dinner at an all-night diner near Freak Turf with his girlfriend, Limely. She listened to his story as she picked at her steak and eggs. "Why do you think he's after you? Could it be someone you beat up in the ring and he's after revenge?"
"No, I'd remember him. And I've never killed anyone, or even disabled anyone, so I don't think it would be some loved one out for revenge."
"Maybe just some crazy fan?" she suggested. "Seen you fight, smoke some God Killer, and decided he could take you on?"
"Yeah, but what's with all the threats? Why didn't he just do something?"
"I don't know. Maybe he's trying to get you to attack him, or to psych himself up or something." They ate in silence for a few more minutes, and then she asked, You have any enemies?
I don't know. I guess I pissed off those Arcadians, the Klotny brothers, when I refused to take a dive for them.
Maybe they hired someone, she said through a mouthful of meat.
Well, if they hired him to kill me, he wouldn't announce his intentions like that. They must have hired someone just to scare me.
Yeah, but that's stupid. You're one of the best pit fighters in the city. In hand-to-hand combat, you can take on nearly anyone. Sending someone to threaten to beat you up is like threatening to moon Habee Cox. If someone wanted to frighten you, they'd threaten to shoot you with a sniper rifle.
I wouldn't believe it, not coming from some homeless guy.
Hmph. She grunted and took a bite of steak. After the diner, Lem went to the guy who did his armor. Stefan lived with some pounders, but seemed to be an okay guy nonetheless. Lem approached a vacant lot surrounded by a fence. Inside were weeds and gravel and some old derelict trucks and RVs. The pounders were sitting around a big bonfire, sharing a big bottle of liquor, listening to country music blaring from a car stereo, and groping the bleary-eyed female winos sitting next to them. They stood up when Lem ducked through the hole in the fence, trying to look intimidating, but when they recognized Lem, they sat back down. Lem knocked on the door of Stefan's RV. After a bit of polite haggling, Stefan agreed to do a rush job. Lem sat back on an old dusty couch, drank the beer that Stefan offered him, and watched Stefan make armor by candlelight. Stefan shaped pieces of scrap metal with thick industrial scissors, sanded down the edges, poked holes in them, and sewed them to strips of leather with a fishing line. He tried it on Lem's neck, and then took it back to his bench for readjustment. A few minutes later, he put it on Lem again and pronounced it a success. For $75, Lem got a piece of leather that would strap around his neck, with overlapping metal plates over some closed-cell foam. It would distribute the force of an attack evenly over his neck, so a punch to the throat would still hurt, but it probably wouldn't crush his windpipe. Lem moved his head around. It bumped against the collar of his jacket if he tried to look down at his feet or up at the ceiling, which was annoying, but other than that, it didn't interfere much with his movement. Lem went to the warehouse where tonight's pit fight was going to be. He kept an eye out and was constantly looking behind him, but he didn't see the throat-punching guy. He fought two rounds and won them both, and drank a couple of beers while watching some of his friends fight. At the end of the night, he collected his $100 and headed home. It was about 3 a.m. when he got off the subway. The streets were quiet this time of night. As he walked home, he was keenly aware of the surroundings. As soon as he came around the corner, Lem instantly recognized the throat-punching guy waiting for him, and Lem's knife was out and ready. As a pit fighter, Lem was better at punching than slashing with a knife. He planned to knock the guy silly with a couple of punches and then make a killing strike with the knife. The man stomped towards Lem.
I'm gonna punch you in the throat, he growled.
Well, come on then, Lem demanded. Are you full of shit or are you gonna do something?
The throat puncher approached, drew his fist back. Lem was prepared to block it, maybe throw a punch to the armpit if his opponent gave him enough time. Then Lem saw a flash of movement lower down, where he had not been looking. Unwilling to let himself get distracted while in punching range, Lem took a few steps back. Now he could clearly see that the throat puncher had a bloody knife held low in his other hand. Looking down, Lem could see blood flowing down his jeans. He grabbed himself and could feel the blood gushing out right under the bottom of his armored jacket, right above his hip bone. It was an attack Lem could have easily blocked and would have been on the watch for had he not been so sure he was about to be punched in the neck. A wave of dizziness overtook him and he sank to his knees, rather than fall. There had to have been some kind of poison on the knife. The throat puncher laughed.
The Klotny brothers send their regards.
Then, after a short pause,
dumbass.
Then he walked off, leaving Lem on his knees on the cold sidewalk.